Generously, Larda estimated they had one defensible week. They could fight their way down the mountain, but there was no way to do it in secret. So even if Radu did not have many men waiting, he would see them fleeing and have enough time to move his men to the bottom and wait. If Larda waited out the slow canon death of the fortress, the villagers would eventually notice. But they would have no idea who to go to for help. And she had not yet sent out any instructions to her men. As far as her soldiers hiding throughout these mountains knew, they were doing precisely what they were supposed to. Waiting. Thousands of willing fighters, and no one to help. Bogdan was dead. Larda kept remembering that anew. But this time she felt a wash of relief that Wana had been abandoned, that she had not seen this. It had been a mercy, after all, leaving her behind. One good thing to come of Larda's betrayal. She stood in the tiny courtyard, listening to men shouting, watching them running around her. Seeing Bogdan fall again and again and again. She was alone. For the first time she could remember, she was well and truly alone. She had thought herself strong and apart, but that had been a lie. As a child, she had had her nurse, her Bogdan, her worship of her father, and Radu. Then she had had Radu and Mahmed. Then she had had Nikolai and her men, and in her mind she had still had Radu and Mahmed, though she knew now that it was a lie, and always had been. She had even gotten her Bogdan and her nurse back, and built a small army of people around her. But one by one, they had left, or been taken from her. The fluttering sensation in her lower abdomen came back, and she could not catch her breath, could not stop her racing heart. She was not alone. She was alone. "Fire everything we have left, and then abandon the fortress," she shouted. The men stopped, disbelief freezing them, and then, as they followed her orders, their actions became frenzied. She walked, numb and heedless of the surrounding chaos, to the nearest door. Inside the room was an old well covered with planks of wood that they had built around. Larda picked up a length of rope against the wall and tied it to a metal loop fixed into the stones. Then she pushed aside the planks, dropped the rope inside, and climbed into the well. The rope burned her hands and her arms trembled, weak from her time in prison. She went as slowly as she could, sliding down the last few feet and only just catching her toes on the footholds that led to the bottom of the well. Last year, she had found the cave at the bottom of the peak. During construction of the fortress, she discovered the well when bats flew out of it. It had to be the upper exit of the mountain's secret passage. But she had no idea if the handholds and footholds continued all the way to the bottom, or if time had worn them away. If only they had found the well that summer they discovered the peak. She would have explored it. She would have forced Bogdan down, or more likely, Radu. Then she would know for certain whether it was possible to descend all the way to the secret passage. Her youthful exploration had failed her, as had everything from her childhood. Her mother, her father, Bogdan, Radu. What use were memories if they could not save her now? She was tormented by thoughts of Bogdan, of Radu, by the time the three of them had spent here. A summer of laughter and scraped knees, soaked in sunshine, a memory mocking her now that she was clinging blindly to cold, wet stone. Radu had taken Bogdan from her. Radu. Who did she have now? Where was the strength and assurance that had sustained her? She should put her trust in her true mother, Valahia. But she kept seeing Bogdan falling, bouncing off her mountain. How could this, too, be taken from her? The rocks were slick with moisture, portions caked with layers of bat droppings or moldy growths. She felt them beneath her fingernails, was glad she could not see their blackness clinging to her. It was completely dark now, the opening above her so far she could no longer see its light. Beneath her, her goal too far to even see a glimmer of hope. Alone, stone pressing in, she knew. There was no heart in this mountain. Valahia was not her mother. Valahia did not care what happened to her, and every single person who might have was either dead or trying to kill her. Her feet slipped, and she hung by the tips of her fingers. Pain burned through them. "I am a dragon," she whispered. It echoed around her, her own words coming back haunted and empty of meaning or strength. She fell. 46. Poinar Fortress. Radu sat in the dim lantern light, his head leaning against the cold stone. In his hand, he held one of Larda's knives. Wrist, wrist, waist, ankle, ankle. He had taken them all. Larda's head rested in his lap, her eyes closed. Her breathing was even. Her arm had been bent at an impossible angle when he found her in a crumpled heap at the bottom of the long, dark tunnel leading to the fortress. She was not bleeding anywhere that he could see, but she had been sleeping for hours now. He shifted, working circulation back into his legs. Larda's eyelids fluttered. Radu stroked her forehead, brushing away one of her tangled curls. She sat up with a start, then cried out in pain, grabbing her shoulder and scooting away from him. She tried to stand, but one of her ankles gave out. Dragging herself away, she hit the far wall only a few feet from Radu and stopped, leaning back against it and breathing heavily. "Hello, Larda," Radu said. With her good hand, Larda reached for her other wrist. Radu held up the knife. In the lamp's golden flicker, Larda's black eyes looked dead. No reflection coming back to him. It was as though the light was sucked in, devoured whole, and disposed of. "How did you know about this place?" Larda put her good hand on her ribs and grimaced. "Did you think all I did that summer was cry because you and Bogdan would not let me play with you?" Larda blinked, still dazed.
"Actually, yes."
Radu laughed, the sound ringing brighter through the space than the lamp's light. "I did do a fair amount of that, but I also explored. I found this cave and climbed all the way up to the fortress. As soon as I got out up there, I knew it was a secret you had been keeping. I did not dare climb back down, though. It took me until dark to hike back. You never noticed I was gone the whole day." Radu smiled. "Father did not notice when I found the fortress ruins the first time either. I was so excited to tell him. But all he wanted to do was leave us." "That never changed," Radu sighed, a soft noise lost in the breeze that wound its way back to this part of the cavern. "And I heard rumors of your fortress in the mountains. I knew this was where I would find you." Larda closed her eyes, another grimace passing over her face, and then resolutely dismissed.
"So you came down here after you missed?"
"After I missed?"
"Your shot. With the arrow."
"I did not miss."
Larda opened her eyes, narrowing them at him. And yet here I am, free from arrow holes.
I hit my target.
Lara struggled for words. You meant to kill Bogdan. It had not been an easy decision.
Radu had sighted Lara first, but Cyprian's belief in him made him pause. If he had Cyprian at his side, he knew he could do anything. And if Lara had Bogdan at her side, he knew she would never give up. She would have to be stripped of everything she had claimed over the years. And so Radu had killed Lada's oldest friend, the son of their beloved nurse. Not an innocent man by any measure, but still, Radu would carry his murder with him until the end of his own days. He had to break Lada before the end, and so Bogdan died.
I needed you to understand the cost of this. To feel loss.
Oh, you simply hated Bogdan.
Radu rubbed his ear against his shoulder self-consciously. It was true. He had hated Bogdan. But hate had not motivated his actions.
You have to lose.
You took him from me.
Radu's own anger flared at her accusations.
You murdered my brother-in-law.
He took you from me.
Lara lurched forward, then gasped in pain, collapsing back again.
I am not sorry.
Radu fought back his anger. She was trying to provoke him.
I know.
You can tell Mahmed that. Tell him I was not sorry. Tell him my only regret was that he did not die under my knife.
Radu held up a hand and mimicked writing a letter.
Dear Mahmed, he said, his voice sing-songy, my sister sends her regards and wants you to know how much she admires your blood and wishes she could have seen more of it. All of it, in fact.
Lara let out a shocked burst of laughter, holding her ribs and doubling over in pain. She panted, easing herself back up.
Finish it. I always said I would kill you. I never imagined you would kill me.
Radu did not take his eyes off his sister.
So you see then, the result of your struggle. You are alone, in the dark, with no allies and no friends, and no weapons.
Lada's face was as fierce and proud as it was drawn and pinched from pain.
Was it worth it?
Radu whispered. Lara lifted her chin.
Yes.
Radu scratched the knife against the damp stone beneath him.
Do you remember the story of Shirin and Ferhat?
We are in the center of my mountain, Radu, and I see no heart.
Radu smiled.
You are wrong. There are two. Yours and mine.
Lara let out a deep, shaking breath, and some of her pride fell with her shoulders. On her face was an expression Radu had never seen before. Sadness.
I wish it was not you, she said.
I could take a blade happily, from anyone but you.
You will never stop, though. Even now. If there was a way to go on alone, stripped of everything, you would do it.
Lara nodded, hand drifting up to the locket Radu had given her.
As long as I have breath, I will fight. Even when it feels like my own country does not want me to, I will fight. I cannot stop.
That is what I thought.
Radu stood, shaking out his legs, which were sore and numb from sitting so long.
You and Mahmed. I was always trying to protect you two, trying to shift your courses. I wish I had been able to. But if I had, you would not be the people you are. and I cannot begrudge you that.
Radu closed the distance between them. Larda looked up at him with fierce defiance. He tucked the knife into the waist of his breeches.
You really tried to protect me during our childhood, to make me stronger. Every time you let me be beaten, every time you were the one beating me, it was because you could see no other way to protect me.
Larda lifted an eyebrow in confusion.
Yes.
Then let me protect you in the way that I know how. I will not stay with you forever. I cannot, and I do not want to. But I can help you for a little while, so that you can continue making Valahia free. I think you deserve each other.
Larda frowned. Is that an insult?
Radu laughed. I do not know. But you have seen what your methods have produced. Let me help you long enough to get you on stable ground. I can give you a throne without turmoil or threat, so you can make your country healthy.
And then?
And then I will leave.
What about Mahmed?
Let me worry about him. Please. Let me worry about all the other leaders and nobles and boyars. I insist.
I do not need...
Larda stopped, shaking her head.
I do need your help. I always did. But you are not here. You did not choose me.
Radu knelt in front of her, holding the knife out, knowing that he had just killed her best friend, knowing that he had stripped her of everything, knowing that an injured, cornered wild thing was the most dangerous type. Knowing that this was his choice, that it was not what Larda would do or Mahmed. And that was why it was right.
Larda reached out, her fingers closing around the knife. She held it up, playing with the reflections of light.
You are mine again.
For a time.
And then?
And then I am retiring to live out a happy, peaceful life, far from thrones and rulers and impossible decisions.
He paused.
Or we could do that now. Come with me. Leave it all behind.
Larda's hand tightened reflexively around the knife.
I did not think so. But I had to try.
Radu held out his hand. Larda sheathed her knife and accepted his help.
You do know,
Radu said, his voice as gentle as his arm around her waist,
that this will be the death of you. Not today. Not tomorrow, if we have any luck. But eventually, they will end you for daring to demand power.
I know. But Valahia is worth it.
In his sister's voice, Radu heard her acceptance of the end. There was no defiance. Her words were almost tender, as though spoken to a lover. Together they walked out of the dark cave and into the light.
Also, Larda said, blinking as her eyes adjusted. Do you want a baby?
47. Turgaviste. Larda lay on her back, staring up at the tree branches. They were entwined like fingers, the blue of the sky fighting through. Late autumn had left them bereft of their leaves, save for a few sad stragglers. It was cold enough that their company was wrapped in furs, but no one had argued with her when she suggested they meet in the forest.
Nazira avoided her, always finding somewhere else to be when Lada was involved in meetings. Lada did not hold it against her. Fatima, the silent maid, had come instead, along with Radu and Cyprian. Somewhere nearby, Radu's men silently and invisibly guarded the group. She often suspected their attention was turned more toward her than toward other possible threats, which proved they were good men. When Radu had brought Lada out and declared a treaty had been agreed upon, Radu's men had been wary. But Radu still excelled at using his silver tongue to convince others that his way was the best. He had written to Mahmed, too. Lada did not ask what Radu said or how Mahmed responded. All she knew was that Radu was on her side, which was worth more than she had imagined, and she would not jeopardize it.
"What about King Stephen?"
Lada asked, continuing their conversation about threats and allies.
"He still has the cities he took from me when he was supposed to be helping. I want to kill him."
Radu sighed, rubbing the side of his nose and leaving behind a trace of ink. Cyprian, the tall young Greek who was always at his brother's side, laughed and wiped it away. Cyprian was nothing like Mahmed. He was joyful and open, wearing his emotions so clearly even Lada could read him. Mahmed had always been so careful with what he showed the world. And where Mahmed was never satisfied with anything, always wanting more knowledge, more power, more control, Cyprian seemed deeply content as long as he was with Radu. Lada had once questioned whether anyone could pull Radu's heart from Mahmed. She would not have thought someone so different from Mahmed would be the one to do it. She supposed she ought to be happy for Radu, but he was being very aggravating.
"You cannot kill the king of Moldavia," Radu said.
"I was not planning on doing it personally," Lada gestured down at her ever-expanding stomach.
"Obviously, I would send someone else."
"No, I mean we cannot kill Stephen. He is still an ally. I have had good responses from my envoys to him. Besides, I thought you liked him."
"I do. But that does not mean he should live after what he did. What kind of example does it set if I allow him to keep the land he took?"
"We are not going to let him keep it. We are going to give it to him as a gift, to thank him for being our ally, and as a gesture of future goodwill and cooperation."
Lada sat up with a grunt. "That is terrible.
That is diplomacy. I cannot do much right now for our relations with Transylvania and Bulgaria, but we will not damage one of our only friendly borders."
Lada scowled, kneading her lower back with her knuckles.
"Let me."
Fatima settled on the blanket next to her and rubbed Lada's sore muscles. Back in the castle, whether meeting with envoys or directing land management, Nazira wore a dress padded to imitate Lada's condition.
"You are only nice to me because you want this baby," Lada said.
Fatima did not pause or respond. She never did. She treated Lada with distant kindness that Lada knew she did not deserve, and it rankled her. Fatima should hate her, as Nazira rightfully did. Sometimes Lada wondered if she should apologize to Nazira for murdering her brother. But she was giving her a baby, which apparently Nazira wanted very much, and Lada could not find the words, or the sentiment, to say she was sorry. She liked Nazira in spite of herself, though. Much as she had suspected and doubted the marriage, she saw now that Nazira was fierce in her own right, with a clever mind always looking for opportunities. It seemed a loss to Lada that she and Nazira could not be friends, but there was nothing she could do to fix what she had done. She would not try. Nazira still had far more than Lada did. Radu had managed to build a formidable family around himself, and unlike Lada, he got to keep all of them. A twig snapped, and she reached for a rock before realizing that Bogdan was not trying to sneak up on their lessons in the forest. It was Wana.
hiking through the forest toward them, lugging a large basket.
"We will kill Matthias, though," Lara said. The words hung in a frozen cloud of breath. She willed them to become a solid reality. "He betrayed me. Kemi locked in prison for 3 months. He also betrayed the Pope and his European allies by taking the gold intended for our crusade against Mehmed and using it to buy his stupid crown back. He cannot be trusted. Besides, we cannot be sure he will not try to harm me again."
"We are not going to kill Matthias," Radu answered.
"He took me prisoner."
"But he did not kill you. Or Wana. He even sent her back as a gift."
Wana grunted, unpacking their afternoon meal.
"He could have sent something more valuable."
"There is nothing more valuable," Radu said, but he could not quite meet their nurse's eyes. Only he and Lada knew the source of his guilt. The closest Lada had come to apologizing for leaving her behind was not telling their nurse who it was that had killed Bogdan. As far as Wana knew, or would ever know, Bogdan went into the mountains to get help and never returned. Wana should not have to live with the truth. It was enough that Lada and Radu did. Wana's gaze shifted down to Lada's swollen stomach, and her eyes misted with tears. Lada resisted the urge to growl. If she could remove the damn thing and have it over with, she would. It was like a parasite, foreign and intrusive. And Lada knew when others looked at her stomach, they saw what they wanted to. Nazira and Fatima saw their futures as mothers. Radu, a secret to hide to protect Lada. Wana, her own flesh and blood, mixed with her claimed daughter.
"Is it his?" Radu had asked one night, as he helped Lada exercise her injured arm to get full movement back.
"You mean Bogdan's?"
Lada had answered. "We both know that is not who I meant."
Lada had not answered again, nor would she ever. She knew that the child could be considered a legal heir, knew that in Mehmed's mind and in the eyes of Ottoman law, Lada was part of his harem. He would never have any of her again, certainly not whatever beast was currently taking up residence over her bladder. Radu was still talking.
"Because we know what he wants. He is easy to deal with. And he is our connection to the Pope and the rest of Europe. It is a fine line to walk, but I think we can manage to keep him on our side, or at the very least not directly against us."
"It would help if we had money to send Matthias," Lada said. "He is deeply loyal to money."
"A lot of things would be helped if we had money. First, we need to survive this winter."
Lada knew that they would, and only because of Radu's foresight in employing his Yanacheris as farmers. She had destroyed her own land. He had healed it. Again, he was annoying her. "If you will not let me kill Stephen or Matthias, who can we kill?"
"I have made a comprehensive list."
Radu shuffled through his sheaves of parchment, most of them detailed funds, where they were, where they could go. Resources such as food and materials, lists of men and where they were located, as well as people he felt they could trust or would be able to buy the trust of. In short, all the little details Lada had never wanted to deal with, but that it took to run a country. Radu made an excellent prince. She was not surprised, nor was she even particularly angry. She had always wanted him at her side, had always known that together they could accomplish what neither could alone. Perhaps if she had not broken so much to get him here, he would stay.
"Ah, here it is."
Radu lifted a piece of parchment and held it out to her. Lada's eyes slitted to knife-thin lines.
"This is blank."
"Exactly. We are building, not burning."
"I still think it would be easier to start over, break down everything that existed, and led to such weakness and rot." Radu's jaw tightened reflexively.
I have seen what it costs to take something very old and make it new. Streets running with blood to clear out a falling empire and make way for the future. Children...
Cyprian reached out and placed his hand over Radu's, which trembled so hard the parchment rustled. Radu took a deep breath.
You do not want to pay that cost, I promise. Even you built Poinar Fortress on the stones of the past, the strength that was already there. We are doing the same.
Larda raised an eyebrow. You knocked that fortress down. A soft giggle from Fatima drew everyone's eyes to where she sat, curled up under a thick fur.
Well, she said softly, it was probably not the best example.
Larda leaned back and let them talk, listened to Cyprian and Radu discuss and strategize and plan. Radu was trying to give her the most stable throne he could manage, and she did not doubt he would do a good job. They had yet to discuss the biggest problem, the one they shared an entire history with. Neither of them had been willing to broach that topic yet. Larda's hands rested on her stomach. She moved them away. Fatima gently rubbed Larda's forehead and neck, where she had constant tension. Here in the forest, in her trees, in her country, Larda listened to the family her brother had built and desperately missed her own.
He wants to meet,
Radu said, staring out from the tower. Larda did not want to be up here. Neither of them liked the castle, but he seemed fond of the tower. It held only ghosts for Larda. Another night, another time, other men she loved. Larda looked down at Turgoviste, trying to forget. Everything was frozen, calm. War slept during the winter, curled up like a bear in a cave. And so, Turgoviste was filling up again. Thanks to Radu's stores of food and Larda's presence, the people of Valahia had slowly returned. And, again thanks to Radu, several of the large manors once again held boyars. Radu visited them daily, making social calls with his charming flower of a wife. But he also met with the people Larda had picked, the ones she had given land to. She could see in his actions that he respected what she had tried to do, what she was still hoping to do. He just wanted to be nicer about the whole thing, which was typical of him.
"We work well together," he said, as though reading her mind.
"You mean... I do all the work, and then you come in and smile at people to make them like you."
Radu laughed.
"Yes."
Then he sighed, and his face got serious again.
"Mahmed wants to meet. He is sending envoys, all of whom will survive and leave healthy and well. And I am working on new terms that I think, I hope, he will accept. He owes me. And I have never asked him for anything. I think he will allow you to remain on the throne, but he wants to meet in secret."
"The two of you?"
"The three of us."
The thing inside her jabbed her ribs, which were still sore from her fall those months before. She shoved it with her hand. She had shed her usual chainmail. She wore odd, bulky robes somewhere between a dress and the entari worn in the Ottoman Empire. Her body was naturally thick and had hidden her condition for some time, but these clothes were her only option now. It would not be long. Larda shook her head.
"I have nothing to say to him."
"Even after everything?"
"Especially after everything. Did I tell you I saw our mother?"
Radu tilted his head, frowning at the subject change.
"When?"
"When you were in Constantinople. I was trying to find support. I thought maybe she could connect me with her father."
Radu's eyebrows rose, and he looked like the little boy she had saved
so many times growing up, but she could not save him from this.
She did not care,
Larda said, about us, about what had happened to us. She did not even ask about you.
Radu blinked rapidly, then attempted to lift the corners of his mouth along with his shoulders as he shrugged.
I do not even remember her.
She does not deserve any place in your memories. She let the world, our father, break her, and she left so the same could be done to us. I will not be broken, and I will never forgive or forget those who failed to stand by my side.
Mahmed was our friend, Larda. More than that, to you, at least.
Radu's smile was wistful, but not bitter. He had all the power in the world, and he would extend none to help me. He did not want to see me succeed. He only cared about me in relation to himself.
She knew it was true, because she had treated Bogdan the same way. She hated Mahmed for it, and she did her best not to think about Bogdan, lest she hate herself.
Radu sighed, nodding. I do not want to see him either.
What happened between you two? Larda had been jealous for so long, worried about Mahmed's affections.
She should have worried more for Radu. But neither of them had been able to avoid Mahmed becoming the central star around which they spun.
Nothing happened. He asked me to stay, and I chose to leave.
He is alone.
Larda scoffed. He has an empire, and he has to be over and above all of it. He loved us. He needed us, because we were the only people he could be a person with, the only ones for whom he was just Mahmed, not the Sultan.
That is the cost of power.
Larda did not look at Radu, knowing he would leave her too. She would be alone, just as Mahmed was. Only Radu had chosen people over power.
Larda looked up at the sky, where a crescent moon was beginning to rise.
Do you remember the night the moon turned to blood?
Radu nodded.
I was in Constantinople, with Cyprian.
Larda had been right here with Bogdan, with Nikolai, with Stefan, with Petru. She had already been alone. She just had not realized it yet.
Mahmed can live in a hell of his own making, Larda said. Promise him money. I will never send. Do not agree to give him any Valahians. As long as I am prince, the Yanacheris will not be given Valahian blood to fill their ranks.
If the princess before her had been as strong, she would never have met her friends.
She wished that were the case. If they had not been Yanacheris, they would not have been her Yanacheris. They would all still be alive, and she would never have known them, which meant she would not miss them.
Mahmed was humiliated by the failure of his attack, Radu said. I think he will agree as long as it means peace, and because it is me asking.
I am going to take back the Danube, though.
Right now, you are going to come down to the throne room and settle some land disputes. And if in 10 years your people are not in danger of starving, and you have a standing army and the support of your neighboring countries secured through years of peace, then by all means, take back the Danube.
Larda faked a casualness she did not feel.
We could do it together.
You will be alone, Radu said, his voice sad, but firm.
I know.
Larda said.
48. Snagov Island Monastery. Radu's worried expression melted away when the monk informed him his sister had given birth to a baby girl. The winter was so cold they had almost not made it to the monastery in time, struggling to cross both land and lake. But they had gotten here, and now the baby had arrived as well. Wana came from the room carrying an armful of soiled linen.
She did well.
Her voice was gruff with emotion. Radu opened the door hesitantly and found Nazira sitting on a chair, holding a cloth-wrapped bundle. She beamed at him with tears in her eyes. Fatima was by the bed, tucking blankets around Larda and wiping the sweat from her brow. There was an odd squeaking noise, and Radu realized it was the baby. Radu went to Nazira and peered down. The baby had thick, dark hair, and though its face was red and swollen from its entrance into the world, Radu needed only one glance to see that this was a mix of the two people Radu would know anywhere. This was not Bogdan's child.
"What should we name her?"
Nazira said, looking up.
"Theodora,"
Larda said, her voice raw.
"Who was born to nothing, and grew to rule an empire."
"She is not born to nothing." Radu smiled down at the baby. Fatima came over and took the baby from Nazira. She nuzzled the infant's head, breathing in deeply.
"The name is strong and beautiful. She will be too."
"I hope for her sake she is ugly. Now get out and let me rest,"
Larda snapped. Nazira and Fatima hurried from the room with the baby. Larda turned in her bed, facing away from Radu. He put one hand on her shoulder, felt Larda's body contract with silent crying.
"Get out,"
she said again. He climbed onto the narrow bed and curled around her, holding her until she slept.
"How do you feel?" Radu asked.
"That I will stab the next person who asks me how I feel," Larda said through gritted teeth as she rode next to him. It had been only a couple of weeks since the baby had arrived. Nazira and Fatima were still cocooned on Snagov, having found a wet nurse who was willing to stay with them as long as the baby needed. She was even willing to relocate to Erdina. Radu suspected some of her eagerness came from the handsome pay and some from the fact that Nazira wanted her only to feed the baby and required no other work from her.
"So you will leave and have a happy home in the countryside?"
Larda said.
"Yes. Cyprian will marry Fatima to make things easiest to explain."
Larda made a thoughtful noise. "I suppose marriages always have been business arrangements to make life easier. Yours are simply odder than most."
Radu laughed.
"I still cannot quite believe we all found each other."
"I can. You were always ruthless about finding people to love you."
Radu opened his mouth to argue, hurt. But Larda was right. He had always been as focused and determined as she had. They simply had different goals.
"You could still come with us."
"You could still stay here and help me rule,"
she said it lightly, but there was a clipped quality to her voice that made Radu suspect the offer carried more weight than she wanted it to.
"No."
Radu had loved Mahmed, and he had loved his sister, but he had no desire to serve them. Not any more. He did not want to pay the cost of their ambitions, or to watch as they paid it too. Larda nodded curtly.
"How long?"
3 months. We want to wait until the baby is a bit older before we travel."
"Well then, ride faster. I have a lot of work for you to do before you go."
But she did not pick up her own pace. She seemed content, for once, to take her time.
"I will send Wana with you," she said,
burrowing deeper into her fur-lined coat.
"Does she want to go?" Radu asked, knowing that only Larda's wishes were what would count.
It does not matter what she wants. I do not wish her to stay. She can help with the baby.
Radu suspected Larda did, in fact, want Wana to stay. It was obvious in the deliberate and determined way Larda had been rejecting their nurse's help since Theodora was born. If Larda did not care so much, she would never have been so mean. She will stay in Turgoviste, if you ask her.
I cannot have another death on my hands, Larda said. The words came out so quickly, Radu wondered if she had meant to say them aloud. Do you want the baby? She asked in a swift change of subject.
Radu frowned. Why would you ask that?
I know Nazira wants the baby. She would have crawled up into my womb to get it if necessary. But do you want it?
I did not think I ever wanted a child, Radu said, searching his feelings. He had scarcely had an opportunity to see the baby and held her only a few times. Fatima had turned out to be incredibly possessive. If you recall, our own childhoods were less than pleasant.
You mean you have not already thought of all the ways you could leverage the infant for your own personal gain?
Radu flinched. I would never.
Larda looked over at him, suddenly solemn. I know. That is why I gave her to you. Mahmed would use her.
She paused.
I would too.
Eventually.
Or get her killed. I want better for her than we had. I trust Nazira and Fatima with that. And I trust you. Radu nodded, his chest swelling with emotions he had tried his hardest not to let surface.
I will raise her in love.
And strength.
And strength. Though I am certain we cannot keep her from being strong if we tried.
Larda reached up and undid her necklace. She held it in her hand, looking down at it. Then she took one of her knives and wrapped the necklace around the handle. She held both out to Radu. Her inheritance. I do not expect you to ever tell her the truth of where she came from. But I want her to have these.
Radu took them reverently, feeling the weight of Larda's soul in his hand. I may wait a few years. To give her the knife. Larda waved dismissively.
I had one when I was 3.
And look how you turned out. She cackled, looking at him with a smile that meant destruction, fire, or both.
First one back to Turgoviste gets to decide whether we kill Matthias.
Larda spurred her horse, quickly outpacing him. Radu watched as she rode forward into her destiny, knowing that she would always outpace him, would beat him to every destination. He was finished, trying to catch up. It was a resignation, both melancholy and peaceful.
49. Turgoviste. Larda watched long after Radu and his party had disappeared down the road. Spring was reclaiming the land, everything soft and green with new growth. It was a time of renewal, rebuilding. And they were leaving. It was good that he was gone. She would no longer have to pretend, have to fake happiness or calm when she felt neither. And it would be nice to no longer have him peering over her shoulder, telling her whom she could and could not kill. He had done a good job, though, better than she could have done. She had treaties in place with every border that mattered. The boyars Radu worked with seemed dependable, though she would watch them closely. Her country was running the way she wanted it to, with order, with strength, with justice and fairness. If it was slower change than she wanted, she hoped Radu's promise that it would be like a tree with deep roots, growing for decades, was true. Larda drifted to the throne room. She sat looking out where her father had looked out before her, where the Dinesh princes
had as well. The throne was a death sentence. She was not foolish. It would claim her eventually, as it had claimed all who came before her. All except Radu Chel Thrumos, the prince who had walked away, who had chosen life and love over country. Larda would not walk away. Once she had sat here with the eyes of her friends on her. Now, and forevermore, she sat here alone. She had dug through the mountain to reach her heart's desire, and found the mountain had a heart after all. The beating pulse required of all those who would not stop, would not accept what the world offered, would not bow. She drummed her fingers on the arms of the throne, looking out at the empty room. She was not stupid enough to think men would stop trying to take it from her. They would always be there, waiting for weakness, waiting for her to fall. They wanted what she had, because she had it. And one day, eventually, someone would defeat her. But until that day, she would fight with tooth and nail, with all the fire and blood that had formed her into who she was. She was a dragon. She was a prince. She was a woman. It was the last that scared them most of all. She smiled, tapping her fingers on the throne in a beat like her heart. "Mine," she said. "Hers. And hers alone." 50. 3 years later, outside Amasya. Radu finished praying and sat back on his heels, enjoying the particular quiet peace of the space. A thump and a laugh roused him. He stretched, glancing over the letters awaiting him on his desk. Most were regional issues, minor disputes, tax claims, all the little matters of keeping his bay running smoothly. One was from Mara Brankovic, though. He carried it with him out to the dizzyingly colourful garden, where Wana was setting up an afternoon picnic, while Fatima sewed in the shade. Nazira sat on the swing that had hung from the old tree on Kumal's country estate. They had brought it with them, brought him with them, in spirit, in every way they could. "It is from Mara," Radu said, handing Nazira the letter. Nazira read it, smiling and shaking her head. "Mara says Abana sends her love." "She has to know we know she is lying." "I suspect she does it to amuse herself. She thanks us for sending our respects when her mother died. Mahmed's eastern borders are giving him trouble, so he has not been in the capital much lately. Oh, and yes, here is the real reason for the letter. And it took her only 3 pages to get to it. She wants to know if you would be willing to remind Larda of her tax obligations. Such things are always so much more pleasant coming from a family member." Nazira laughed. "She is trying to delegate." Radu lowered himself to the ground, sitting next to Fatima and peering over her shoulder at the tunic she was sewing. "That is beautiful." She smiled, pleased.
"It is for Theodora."
"So it will remain beautiful for 3 whole minutes after she puts it on." Fatima's smile grew both softer and prouder. She stroked the cloth.
"Yes."
With a roar, Cyprian ran into the garden, Theodora riding on his shoulders. He did several circles around the tree before collapsing onto the grass. Theodora jumped on his stomach, laughing, but Cyprian pretended to be dead. Scowling, Theodora wandered back to the house, her long black hair already undone from the careful braids Fatima had put in just that morning. Radu stretched out, resting his head on Cyprian's torso. The day was warm, lovely and soft, the best season. This evening, He would answer Mara and write his report on the status of his bay for Mahmed. But this afternoon was for happiness. Wana finished laying out the food, grumbling about not being able to find the right ingredients here. She had done well adjusting to a new life, though she refused to learn Turkish. It was good for Theodora, though, to understand Valahian. It felt right. Theodora! Wana shouted. It is time to eat! Radu sat up, passing the food and listening to Nazira make plans for a holiday to Bursa, to see the sea. Someday they would make the pilgrimage to Mecca. But that could wait until Theodora was older. They would also visit Cyprus to see where Cyprian's mother had come from. But Bursa was far enough for now. As long as I do not have to ride on any boats, Radu said.
Oddly enough, Cyprian and I have had a lifetime's worth of experience on boats as well, Nazira replied.
And deserted islands, Cyprian said with a laugh, lacing his fingers through Radu's.
It had never stopped feeling like a miracle.
I had to fight a mountain, Theodora said, plopping down in the middle of the blanket and knocking over several bowls of food. It was mad! I screamed at it, and it had fire eyes, but then I got it with my knife!
She held up a knife, clutched in her still dimpled hand. Radu reached out and plucked it away.
Where is she always finding knives? Nazira said, frowning as she pulled Theodora into her lap and fussed over her hair.
Theodora nuzzled against Nazira, reaching up and patting her cheek.
Radu knew he should be cross, but he could not help laughing. Later that evening, as Radu tucked Theodora into bed, he reached beneath her pillow and retrieved a knife she had hidden there. Her lips stuck out in a pout. He kissed her forehead.
I will save it for when you are older, and if you have to fight a mountain, come get me. I will fight it with you.
Her 3-year-old body could hold neither rage nor consciousness for long. Radu stayed, hours after she fell asleep, gazing at her face. Lada and Mahmed had combined in a softening of both their features. Mahmed's full lips with Lada's large eyes. Mahmed's dark lashes with Lada's hooked nose. He had loved them both so very much, and it had not been enough to keep them. But he could make certain this little creature they made had all the love the world held. Be strong, he whispered. Be kind. Be hopeful. He bent down and kissed her forehead.
And be fierce.
Epilogue. Snagov Island Monastery. 17 years later. Radu watched the approaching boat grow larger. He was grateful he had arrived first, so that he did not get out on the shore, heaving for their first greeting in 10 years. Theodora fidgeted impatiently beside him. She wore clothes suited to travel, but with Fatima's excellent sewing and Nazira's love of color. And she always wore knives, too, her favorite being the one she had inherited. Theodora was not elegant, but she was strong and undeniably lovely. She had adopted Nazira's clever optimism, Fatima's kindness, and, unfortunately, Cyprian's sense of humor. At 20, she was still the brilliant center of their lives. Radu was grateful that she had demanded to accompany him. Making this trip alone would have left him with too many ghosts. Theodora was so brash and delightful, there was no room for melancholy. She was also impatient. They had been waiting nearly an hour. As Mahmed disembarked, helped by a retinue, Theodora carefully reworked her face into something acceptable. Not demure by any means, but at least respectful. Mahmed did not appear to suffer any ill effects.